For more than 20 years, John Ugenhuizen and his family have been taking people on four-wheel drive tours around Australia, including the Sturt Steps track many times. He shares his tips for preparing for long drives, safety tips on dirt roads, and how to handle an injured animal.
Probably the primary thing is drive only during daylight hours. Don't be in a rush to get away in the morning. Mm-hmm. And make sure that you're in camp well before sunset. The amount of animal strikes that happen out there overnight are a very big concern for everyone. So be on the road only during daylight hours. Travel at a speed that is probably easy for you to handle, and drive at a pace that allows you to react to different environments, particularly if you're on dirt. Drop your speed, drop your tyre pressures, and drive at a speed that allows you to react to a number of different aspects of what may happen in that environment. We all talk about driving at a safe speed, but only that driver can determine what they would consider to be a safe speed.
Because even sometimes when there's limits set, that changes according to conditions, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And a conscientious driver will analyse how they're performing in that environment and adjust their speed accordingly. A lot of people, unfortunately, are a little bit ignorant of both their capabilities and their abilities on that given surface. So that can lead them into a bit of trouble. But you know, we talk about safe speed, and slower is always better.
Are there particular like signals or signs that you can look for to tell you if you are going too fast?
The vehicle starts to become a little more lively, and by that I mean the vehicle's moving around on that surface, and particularly a dirt road surface, because a lot of the roads out in Corner Country are dirt. And bitumen road, you probably won't get that feedback from the vehicle, but a dirt road, you certainly will get that feedback from the vehicle that it's moving around probably more than what you feel comfortable with. So in that instance, it's slow down, take your time, enjoy the scenery more than anything else.
What essentials do you pack in the car for a trip like this?
Well, God, for a trip like that, to Corner Country, definitely number one, enough food and water for a few days, just in case we get stranded. Unlikely nowadays, I know, but you may be out on one of the tracks and it could rain overnight and rain quite heavily, which means that you then can't put a vehicle on that track. And if you do, it's probably going to get bogged anyway. So enough food and water to last 3 or 4 days. And then first aid kit, good means of communication, and typically a phone may not be that good means of communication. A UHF radio, you might be able to pick up a repeater from one of the stations out there, but a satellite phone is also a great piece of kit to have, and you can rent those or you can buy them. They're not that expensive anymore.
Another thing that's caught a few people out lately, actually, we hadn't seen rain for a long time around here, and then there has been a lot of rain. So there have been a lot of people caught out on these dirt roads, getting bogged. Any advice for how to kind of read those conditions and decide if your car might make it through a bit of mud or whether you should just turn around or pull up where you are?
Well, it there's more to it than that. I mean, it's about having the respect for the road authorities in that region, so the local councils who are trying to maintain those roads and keep them in fairly good order. So you need to be aware of the weather systems that are moving around you. So the Bureau of Meteorology app on your phone is a good thing. So as you prepare to leave a major regional centre, check out what the weather is going to be doing. And if it does look dodgy, find yourself a nice spot for a couple of days and just wait for the weather to pass. The road authorities do try to keep the roads open as often as possible, but there is always the risk that you're going to get stranded. The thing to look for, I think, is watch the weather and make your plans accordingly. Travelling in outback Australia is one thing where you need to remain quite flexible in your approach to your itinerary. If you're running an itinerary that is so tight that you have to be somewhere at a certain time, then you're probably going to be prone to disappointment, because if you do get bogged and you are held up for a couple of days, then all your plans are thrown out the window. So a certain amount of flexibility in your itinerary is very needed.
Mm. Any other safety tips for driving on those roads?
Dirt roads especially. I mean, bitumen roads, we know our speed limits and we know what our recommended tyre pressures are, because they're placarded on the car, and we can run the vehicle at those pressures and it all works very nicely and everything's good. It's when we get onto the dirt road surfaces that things need to change a little bit, and we find that running with lower tyre pressures, so if your tyres are normally on a bitumen road at, say, 36 psi, we would drop them down to about 75% of what the road pressures are. And this creates a greater degree of flexibility for the tyre. It reduces the likelihood of punctures through rock strikes. And the big thing to remember with that is if we do lower our tyre pressures, we must lower our speeds to correspond with that. So if the road's listed at 100 k's an hour, then your top speed's probably going to be 80 k's an hour. And given the fact that you're out there on holidays and enjoying what you can of corner country, because it has a lot to offer, then you shouldn't be in a rush anyway. So slowing down is a good thing.
Mm. Now and then we do go through the unfortunate tragedy of hitting an animal. What's your advice if someone's done that?
Oh, first and foremost, please stop. Move the animal off the road. If you've killed it, move it off the road, because it then has ongoing circumstances where you may get birds of prey coming down for an easy feed, and then they become roadkill themselves. So it's a compounding problem. So move the animal off the road. If it isn't dead, then we probably need to talk to your local rescue group to see if they can come out and deal with the animal. But the other thing is very important is to, if it's a kangaroo, check to see if it's male or female. Check the pouch, because you may have a joey that has survived the impact, and that commonly happens. So check the pouch and get hold of your local rescue group, and then contact them and get the joey out to them, or have them come out and rescue it. But other than that, animal strikes are a part and parcel of the Australian landscape. It happens very, very regularly, and quite often we don't get a lot of notice that there's an animal on the road. So driving to the conditions, looking at the terrain beside the road, so if it's heavily treed alongside the road and it's getting on towards dusk or dawn, then those are the peak times for animal movements. And at those times, if you are moving and you need to move at those times and you're in that wooded type area, slow down. Give yourself a bit of time to react to anything that does come out from beside the road. If the roads are quite open and there's large table drains either side of the road, which happens very, very commonly out in corner country, you've got better visibility, so you can maintain a decent speed, but be vigilant is probably the easiest way to talk about it.
Mm. And I understand, I think a lot of accidents that do happen can come from swerving to miss life, wildlife, yeah, as well. That's definitely a big no-no, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we value the lives of all our native animals, but when push comes to shove, your life is more valuable than a kangaroo, or at least we like to think so. So, yes, if you've got time to react to the animal and swerve to avoid it, you've also then got time to react to the animal and brake as hard as you possibly can to reduce the impact speed. Swerving at speed is as you say, the major cause of accidents on outback roads. So we would desperately plea with people to not swerve, just brake as hard as you possibly can to reduce the impact with the animal, but don't swerve.
Good one, yeah.
First aid kit's always a good thing to have with you. Mm-hmm. We would never travel without one. The thing to get through you into your mind is the fact that you are out there to enjoy what that environment has to offer you, and belting through it at speed, you don't get the chance to absorb that environment. So you need to be able to literally stop and smell the roses and take it all in and just knock the speed out of your journey.
And the fatigue too, I guess, if you're stopping.
I was just going to say, it's far more relaxing travelling at a nice, easy pace, and therefore your fatigue levels will drop considerably as well. Good communication allows you to have that reassurance that should something go wrong, you can probably communicate and get yourself out of that trouble. Drive to the conditions. I know it's reinforced time and time again, and it's a message that is extremely valid. Drive to the conditions. Assess the conditions. As you drive, and they will change. It'll go from dusty to wet to dry back to wet, and you just drive as necessary to maintain good, safe control of the vehicle.
Thanks to John Ugenheisen for his driving and travel tips. I'm Amy Volkowski. This episode of Meet the Locals was produced by Bushwitch Productions in collaboration with Jason King Media for the Sturt Steps touring experience. Sturt Steps is a touring route that covers over 1,100 kilometres in Corner Country, outback New South Wales. This project is funded by the New South Wales Government and administered by the Melperinka Heritage and Tourism Association Incorporated. For more information, head to the website at www.sturtsteps.com.au.